I'm excited to be here. Is anybody else excited? Amen. Good. It's good to see everyone here. Again, I want you to know I'm preaching short, so I want us to have time to pray. So I don't want you to be expecting some time of prayer at the end, okay? And so I hope that's okay with y'all. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. All right, well, tonight I want to talk to you just for a little bit about a message I titled A Place Called Expectancy. Now, just a minute. Sorry. So whenever I say a place of expectation, I don't mean like entitlement. I expect you to give this to me, or I expect this out of you. I'm talking about an anticipation, okay? So it's an excitement and an expectation. And so we're going to get into the word here in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, okay? And I'm going to read these scriptures, and then we'll get into our message. But let's pray before we get started, if we could, all right? Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the cooler temperatures. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, you provided a way for each and every one of us to carve out some time of our day. And God, I hope that they came expecting to meet you here tonight and not just see me. Because God, if they came to see me, we're in trouble and we have nothing to offer them. But God, you have everything in your hand. And so tonight, God, we just come expecting to you tonight. We're excited to be here. We're hungry. We're thirsty for more of you. And so, God, have your way in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, if you will. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Okay? That's the part I want us to get. He gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, this is the story. If you're not familiar with it, Peter and John are going into the temple, and there is this young man that has been set beside the gate. He's been paralyzed from his mother's womb, so he's never walked in his life. And they would take him, and they'd set him by the gate called Beautiful. And there he would expect to receive things. He would beg from those that were coming in and out of the temple. And so there's really, you know, I mean, whenever he was out there and he's begging, he might have been thinking to himself he wanted some gold or some silver or maybe even some food. But he believed that there was something. Whenever he would ask of people, he would believe that there was something that was going to be coming his way that would improve his situation. And his optimism about that moment, the expectancy that he would receive something that he needed. So he had an expectation, an expectant heart. He had optimism. He was ready. And we know that the story goes on that John and Peter, Peter looks at him. He says, "Hey," he says, "silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you." And he said, "Stand up and walk." And he reached out his hand and he raised the young man up. And for the first time in his 20 some odd years, he could walk. His legs gained the strength that they needed it. And so he came expecting something that he needed, but he got a lot more than he expected. Amen? And, you know, like it or not, we live our lives according to our expectations. And those that believe that they can get better or do better, generally, they do. Their lives get better. And those that just can't get that their mind wrapped around that and they can't believe that life will ever change, well, usually their life never changes. It's kind of like if you have a woman that's battered, a battered wife, and she just thinks, for some reason, this is my life and I can never get out, and she thinks I have to stay in that situation. She doesn't expect to ever get out, and usually most of the time they don't. Or maybe it's like the addict that believes that he can change, and he does, one day at a time, with a sense of expectation. And so the question that I would want to ask each and every one of us tonight is this: what do you expect from this service? What do you expect from God tonight? I want to tell you a story really quick about this young psychologist. He was a student in the Army, and as a college student, being a psychology major, well, he would get different duties that he would draw each week, and he got this. He got the chow line duty. He was kitchen duty. And so he was given the fantastic job of passing out the Army apricots at the end of the chow line. And nobody liked the Army apricots. And so he decided he was going to do a test that he'd been studying in his psychology class about expectation. And so he would ask the first few soldiers that would come through, he would ask them about their apricots like this. He'd say, "You don't want any apricots, do you?" And whenever he would do that, 90% of the first platoon that came through said no. So then the second platoon comes in, and he thought, "Well, I'm going to try the other approach, the positive approach." And he says, "You do want some apricots, don't you?" And whenever he would ask it that way, over half of the people, right about half of the people, would say, "You know, yeah, I guess I'll take some." They didn't even really want them, but they would do it. And so when the third platoon came in, he just decided, "Well, this is the one where I'm going to just tell them what I expect out of them." And so when they would come to the end of the line, he would look at him and say, "Do you want two scoops or one?" And whenever he would do that, it said in his study that 40% of them, even though they really didn't want them, they took two scoops, and 50% took one. So now you can look at this and you can see where he took 90% when he was asking it in a negative way. 90% of the people didn't want it. But then he gives it in an expectation way, and with the expectation, he got 90% of them that said they would take the apricots just by making his expectation known to them. And I thought that was very interesting because, you know, we get what we expect. I had a boss at UPS, and he would tell me whenever I became in management there and I had some guys under me, he said, "Jack, you're going to be able to expect what you inspect." And what he's trying to tell me is the things that I expect are the things that I'm going to pay my attention to. That's where I'm going to put my time and my energy. I'm going to inspect those things. And so when you inspect something, then you can expect a different result. And so tonight I ask you one more time, what do you expect out of God tonight? You see, Peter and John, they met this lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Now, this gate, I don't know if you've ever studied the Gate Beautiful, but this gate was about 75 feet high and 60 feet wide. Can you imagine that? That's a big old gate to a temple, isn't it? If we had a big gate out here to Grace Point, that'd look, whew. Anyways, so it was made of some Corinthian brass, and it had gold inlays all over it. It said overlaid with thick plates of gold. It was a beautiful gate, and it was so heavy that it took 20 men to open and close this Gate Beautiful. And that's where this young man got to sit. That was his spot. Now, can I tell you, when you're panhandling for a living, your spot is important. It's important. Where the best spots are hard to come by. Amen? And so in this man, obviously in his 20-something years of being a panhandler and asking alms, well, he had evidently moved up the ladder and got to the best place there was in Jerusalem. And he was sitting right there at the Gate Beautiful. And this is where the faithful members would go in and out of the temple. And I can't think of a better place to find a little bit of charity. Can you? Is outside the temple. But I want to tell you something about a place in New York City. Right outside of New York City, or inside of New York City, outside of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, there's a little hot dog vendor out there. And this hot dog vendor, he pays the city, he's there every day, but he pays the city over $640,000 a year to reserve that spot. Can I tell you, you don't pay nearly $750,000 for a bad spot. And I don't know what his profits are, but I can promise you that when he opens up that cart every morning, when he goes out there and gets ready to serve those people that day, that he has an expectation. He's expecting to make a return on his investment. And it's pretty obvious since he's there year after year that he's getting what he expects. And you see, when there's something that you need, the very best place you can be is a place called expectancy. In 1960, I'm telling you a lot of stories tonight, I know, but in 1960, there was a teacher, and she received the roster for her classes that she had coming up. Well, the first class that she got the roster from, she had the actual IQ numbers of the students. And so in one of the classes, she had all the IQ students. But in the other class that she had, somehow there's a mistake made. Instead of putting their IQs where the blank was, they put their locker numbers. And it was over at the end of the year before the teacher realized that the list was wrong. And she discovered that in that first class, though, that the students with the high IQs, they did perform better than the ones with the low IQs, right? And that's what you and I would expect. However, in that second class, the students with the higher locker numbers scored significantly higher on their test than the ones with the lower locker numbers. Now, I must have had locker number 2 because my teacher didn't have much to expect out of me. But you see, it's what you expect is what you get. It's a lesson that we've learned time and time again in our life, and it's based upon our expectations, and through those, we make some vital decisions. In 1968, I'm telling you some stories about people of expectation, by the way. In 1968, if you had asked the question, which country do you think will lead the world through the rest of this year and the next in watchmaking? Does anybody know? That's right, Switzerland. You guys are good. Y'all were in the IQ class. Y'all didn't go by your locker number, did you? But, you know, Switzerland was it. In 1968, they owned 65% of the watchmaking market worldwide, and they made over 80% of the profits that came through watchmaking. And they were so innovative. They made some great watches. And, you know, you can thank the Swiss for all of the great advances that we had. The second hand, there was watches before that. They invented a second hand, put it in there. The self-winding watch, the waterproof watch. They took the position that they were the very best and that nobody was going to change that. And that was in 1968. However, if you fast forward 12 years further to 1980, Switzerland only owned about 10% of the world's watchmaking market. And out of the 60,000 watchmakers in Switzerland, 50,000 of them had been laid off. You think, what happened? What happened? Well, in 1969, there was a Swiss watchmaker, and he invented something that we call the quartz watch. It's the battery-powered watch that we all grew up with. And the Swiss, they invented this quartz watch, but soon after they did it, they thought to themselves, you know what? This isn't really what the people are expecting. This isn't what they want. And so they said, the watch doesn't have the same feel. It doesn't even tick. I can't even hear it tick, tick, tick. And so they just thought, we're going to go back. We're going to make them like we've always made them. And so during that 12 years of time, Japan leapt from owning only 1% to having 33% of the market. In the pages of history, they're filled with all kinds of companies and stories like this that miss out on an opportunity of a lifetime just simply because their lack of expectation was down here and not up here. Take the story of Chester Carlson, who tried for 6 years. He tried for 6 years to sell his invention, the little strange invention that everybody turned him away. Every office equipment corporation in America said, no, we can't use what you got. When finally there was one little company in Columbus, Ohio, called the Battelle Company, they agreed, we'll try it, we'll fund you, we'll get you going. And thanks to the success of Mr. Carlson, his little invention would later change the name of Battelle to Xerox Corporation. And the rest of that is history, amen? And so sometimes you get more than you expect. Sometimes if you don't expect anything, you get nothing. Sometimes if you don't expect it very much, that's all you get. And sometimes when you expect something, you get more than you even expected. But here's the key to that. It's only, though, if you are expecting something. So what do you expect? In Job 3:25, it says this. It says, "For the things which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is coming unto me." You see, you get what you expect. If you expect the bad, it's certain that it's going to come. But what I want you to know is that if you come and you expect a blessing, that's what you're going to get. Hebrews 11:1 says this, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." You see, sometimes we have to say to myself, I have to say, somehow, if I can just position myself in this place called expectancy, if I can get myself to a place where I'm expecting a miracle, if I can get myself to where I'm expecting a healing, if I can get myself to a place where I can expect a blessing or maybe a new start or maybe help in my home to where I can have peace, or I expect my marriage to get better, God is going to bless my marriage, or maybe we need to get ourselves to a place where we're expecting a financial blessing. But what if I move from where I am now to this place called expectancy, where I'm not expecting anything, my hope is, my vision, everything is gone, and now I need to find my way over to a place called expectation. Ephesians 3:20 tells us this. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You see, God bases my blessings on what I ask and think. He says here, above all that we ask or think. So it's not just some random choice that God makes. He's not just drawing straws or rolling the dice, or this isn't the wheel of fortune. And, we get to decide our level of expectancy tonight. And once that we decide that things are going to get better, or once we decide that things are not going to stay the same, maybe we get determined that we're not going to remain in our troubles. I'm going to get myself out of this somehow. I'm going to find a way. And sometimes we have to think, I'm going to step into a new place of joy and peace. And once we decide that we're tired of being in that same plateau for too long, once we're tired of coming to service after service, facing the same situation when we go home, can I tell you that a new sermon's not going to fix that? A new song is not going to fix that. A new preacher isn't going to fix that. A new building won't fix it. A new location isn't going to fix it. But I can tell you tonight, the one thing will is that if you can get yourself to a place called expectation. I want you to remember the story of David and Goliath, how he stepped out on that battlefield and he yelled at the Israelites. And the Israelite army, what they saw is they saw this soldier standing out there, and they thought, there is no way we can ever kill that soldier. And then came along this little boy named David, and he looked at that same guy and he says, he's so big, I can't even miss. He had expectation. He expected God to show up. You see, David had been out in the field whenever the bear and the lion had came, and God had protected him and helped him to overcome his problem. And he understood that, you know what, if I can expect God to help me with the bear and the lion, I know that my God, I can expect him to show up today, and he can help me defeat this giant that's facing me and my brothers. And so, it's important for us to find ourselves in a place of expectation, because it's all about what you expect is what you're going to get. And I, if you'll play me some music, Kyle, if you can. I don't know if you can. Well, the computer's down, so we don't even get any music. That's all right. God can move without music, can't he?
Yes, he can.
He sure can. And you know what? I just came tonight just to call you to a place of expectation. I want to encourage you to come to a place of expectation. Can I tell you that it's time to move up? It's time to step out. It's time to turn around. It's time to do whatever we got to do to find ourselves to get to a better spot. Just like the young boy that was at the best spot in Jerusalem, outside the gate beautiful, he was in a great spot. Can I tell you tonight, you're in a great spot because God is here. His word says where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. So I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that God is here tonight. But I want to ask you, what is it that you're expecting from him? God is ready to move in this place. And he's ready to meet your expectations. And I understand that sometimes we come into a place and we get these expectations. And you say, Pastor Jack, when I get my expectations set high and then they crumble, I get disappointed. Can I tell you what? If you put your expectation in God, you'll never be disappointed. I remember one time we had this stationary bike at the house, and I thought, I expected if I ride the thing, I'll get healthy. I'll slim down, I'll do better. And so I expected when I got on there that I was going to get on there and I was going to pedal. Boy, I straddled that thing and I started pedaling. And this thing had those little straps that your feet go in. He expected me to put my feet in there, so I did. So I put my feet in, and I started riding. And I was just going as fast as I could go and doing all I could do to ride this bike. And the next thing you know, something unexpected happened. The handlebars came right out of that thing. Well, I'm sitting on this little bitty seat about this wide. My feet are strapped into these pedals, and they're just moving. And I can't stop them because there's some momentum. And so I'm thinking, all I got to do, I got to get my feet out of these stirrups. So I kind of slide my feet out, and the next thing I know, boom, I wrecked a stationary bike. I didn't expect to do that. A stationary bike. This was not a bike out on the road. This was in my house on a nice little stand. And I wrecked it. Shelly and Sadie were down in the lower floor, and they thought I killed myself, had a heart attack. They didn't know what happened. They just heard me hit the floor, and they probably expected to come up and find me dead. But you know, but you see, sometimes we can get our expectations set on the wrong things. But when you put your expectation on God and all that he's done for you and I, can I tell you, you can't go wrong. And so I want to ask you one more time. What is it you expect from God tonight? I can't do anything for you. I can't make your life better. But he can. So if you're here tonight and you're thinking, Pastor Jack, my marriage has fallen apart, and I'm expecting to get a divorce, can I tell you, get to a place of expectancy and begin to ask God and pray and ask God to restore your marriage or to at least bring you some peace in your home. Amen? Amen. Whenever it doesn't matter what you're facing. If you're here tonight, and I know Shelly needs a healing in her neck. She needs this. We're praying. We're believing. We're expecting God. We're getting to a place of expectancy to where we can say that God is going to heal her neck. You may be here tonight. You may be sick. You may be hurting. You may need a healing. And let me tell you, you get yourself to a place of expectancy tonight, and you get in the presence of God, that's where things change. That's where miracles happen. If you're needing a miracle tonight, I beg you, come down and get into the presence of God and get to a place of expectancy and begin to pray and seek God's face with an expectant heart. Not a heart of saying, you know what, I deserve this. I've served you. I've done this. I've done that for you. Everything you've asked me to do, God, I've done it. Why are you doing this to me? That's not a place of expectancy. That's a place of complaining. God wants you to come to him tonight knowing and believing with all your heart that he is more than able. He's not just able. He's more than able to do whatever it is that you need. And just like in the story of the young boy, he got more than he expected. And I tell you, every time that God does something in my life, it's more than I could have asked for. It's more than better than I could have dreamed or asked or thought. Because God is that way. He's just that good. Do you believe him tonight? Do you believe his word? So tonight, I just want to ask you, What is it that you're expecting from God? Are you putting some expectation, some excitement when you come into his house? Or are you just expecting, well, I got off work and I came to church and I could mark that one off my list. That's not much expectancy. But you know, you guys, you worked hard today. You got home, you changed clothes, maybe you didn't even have time to go home. You came straight from work, you came here. Whatever it is, you didn't come here tonight just to hang out, did you? You came tonight because you had some expectancy deep inside you. You may not know it. You may not have thought, well, I didn't really come expecting anything. But let me tell you, if you put your time and energy to get into your car instead of going home and turning on the TV and eating and relaxing after a hard day, there's some sense of expectancy in you. You're here tonight for a reason, and I hope that that reason is more than to see your neighbor and your friends. I hope that it's so that you can see Jesus in this place, and you can have an encounter with him, and you can expect to have that encounter if you'll humble yourself and pray tonight. Amen? So I'm going to hush. I'm going to quit talking, and I'm going to ask you, what are you expecting from God? What is it that you need him to do tonight? And then I want you to just ask him for it. You see, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. So tonight, I want you to get some boldness. I want you to get some expectancy in you and say, God, this is what I need. And God, I know that you're more than enough. You're more than able to meet my need tonight. And so, God, I'm going to lay it down at your feet, and I'm going to ask you to minister to it. And so that's what I want you to do at this time. I don't care if you pray there, if you want to come down here and kneel like some have been doing. Kneel at your seat. I just want us to go to God with some expectancy in our heart tonight. And I'm excited to see what God's got. I'm expecting to see miracles. I'm expecting to hear testimonies of what God is doing. Will it happen tonight? I don't know. But I know if you pray about it and you begin to lay it and petition the Lord, he's going to do something about it. Whether it's today or tomorrow or next year, I don't know, but he's going to do something about it. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, come to God with some expectancy. Get to that place of expectancy and lay your need there tonight, and let's see what God does. Amen? Let's pray. Find a place to pray if you want to. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and I just lift up each and every person in this place tonight. God, I pray that you would just put an expectancy, a sense of urgency in their heart tonight. Father, that they can come to you and they can lay their need at your feet, and that you are more than able to meet every single need in this room. Father, you can do a miracle and do it right now in the midst of all of us. And God, that would be awesome. We would love to see it. It would increase our faith. It would cause us, Lord Jesus, to continue moving forward. But God, if you don't, we still know that you're on the throne. We know that you're still moving. You're still healing. You're still touching. And Father, you're still delivering and setting free. You're still mending. You're still calling. God, I just ask that tonight, God, as we come to you tonight with an expectant heart, Lord, that we would begin to see your hand move in our midst. And Father, I know that tonight, there's no music, there's nothing to kind of persuade us into this, God. So this is an awesome moment, really. This is a moment where we can say, you know what? I didn't need any prodding. I didn't need any music to get me in the mood. God, I'm in the mood for you without the music. I need you right now. I need you to come and touch us tonight. Father, I pray that you would touch every person in this room. Father, those that need healing, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing into their bodies. And Father, those that are needing restoration in their relationships, Father, I pray for them today, God, that they would find either the forgiveness, they would find the strength and the courage to go and talk to whoever it is they need to fix this relationship. But God, I pray that not only that, that you would go before them and you would begin to minister to both parts in this relationship. And God, that you would begin to lay it upon their heart and melt their heart and bring them back together. Father, I pray for those that are here tonight that need a financial blessing. God, you lack nothing. Your streets are paved with gold. Your gates are made of pearl. And God, there's nothing. Money is no object to you. But God, I pray that you just begin to pour out your blessings upon your people tonight. God, if they're coming and they're saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the end of the month. I've already spent my money and it's only the third. God, I pray that you'd just help them, God, whether it's in a financial blessing or, Lord, you would give them some stewardship lessons. You would begin to give them a budget. You'd begin to give them the wisdom and the knowledge on how to handle their money so that they can do the best with it. And God, I pray that if there's someone here tonight, Father, that is held captive by drugs or alcohol or anything that they need delivered from, Father, I pray that you would set them free in the name of Jesus Christ, that they would walk out of here tonight as free as any of us. And God, that they would know that it was by your hand and by your power and by your might that these things would be done. God, I pray that you would touch those that are needing help on their job. Father, there's people that are surrounding someone in this room that is just terrible at work, and they hate being around them, and it's just a strife and trouble. God, I pray that you'd bring healing into that area of their life. Lord, that you would help them as they go on to their job. Father, that they would, no matter what happens, that they would work as unto you. And God, as they do that, that the people that are around them would see their love and their passion for you. And Lord, that they would promote them and they would bring them into a position, Lord Jesus, that they could enjoy and not have to have all this trouble and strife. God, I pray that you'd touch each and every need that's in this place. God, I love you and I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. I thank you that your mercy was new this morning. I think that your grace is more than enough, Father, to cover us. And Lord, I thank you for that precious blood that washes away the sins of the world, and how, God, we can come to you and we can lay our sins at your feet and we can walk away restored by you tonight. Father, if someone's here and they need a restoration with you, God, that's the most important thing that can happen in this room right now. Lord, that hearts would turn to you, that hearts would look to you with expectancy, knowing that you will forgive them of their sin and you'll wash them white as snow, and God, that you'll set them on the path of righteousness and that you'll be with them every day from this day forward, God. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. God, I thank you for what you're doing at Grace Point Church. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you, Lord Jesus, here at our church, Father. As we come together, Lord, we come together in unity tonight. And Lord, we come just like your word says, where two or three are gathered in my name. Lord, we're here tonight in the name of Jesus. We're here today to see you. We're here today to talk to you. We're here today for your touch, for your blessing. Lord, I didn't come here for anything else, God, than to deliver your word and to see you, to talk to you, to spend time with you. And so, God, I pray that you'd have your way in our midst tonight. Lord, whatever it is that's on their heart, I know it's not too big for you. I know it's not. God, I love you, and I come with a sense of expectancy tonight, expecting to hear stories of what you're doing from this night forward, Lord, in each and every one of our hearts and our lives. Father, I thank you. I thank you once again for all your many, many blessings. I thank you, Lord, that your love is more than enough for us tonight. Pray that you'd help us to love others as you love us. Lord, I pray when we go out the doors that we're more like you than we were when we came in them. Lord, help me to be more like you every day. Every day, Lord. Father, I love you and I praise you. I give you glory and honor. I give you praise in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.